Honorable, in continuation of the visit, Mr. Nealon's visit with the Audubon Group on Saturday, the 11th of October, 6-9. This is Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over. In continuation of the visit, Mr. Nealon's visit with the Audubon Group on Saturday, the 11th of October, 6-9. And this is from the cassette. his talk out in the field. His talk out in the field before he came in the kitchen and talked. It depends on the weather. You can't come out here in the rain and mow it.
And we had the worst kind of weather to do anything.
This year.
Did you get the ponies?
They're not mine, mister. You know, that belongs to a fella.
Oh.
He just puts some of his animals over here.
Oh, I see.
Just puts them out to pasture.
A good neighbor.
He's a good neighbor, yeah.
We all need good neighbors.
We don't have them.
Not often.
Mm-mm. Did you used to have good neighbors?
Well, in our community where I grew up, we were all neighbors. If anyone needed something, the rest provided it.
Yeah.
And doctors were scarce, and one old man broke his leg. So the neighbors got him and brought him home. We called, had to go 3 miles to the nearest telephone, called the doctor in the county seat town. He set the leg, and then we carried him down to the railway station and sent him to San Francisco to the hospital.
Yeah.
Old man, bone stuck above his knee right out into the rocky road where he landed when the horse ran away.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2 months he was back home walking around with a cane.
Mm-hmm.
Unusual for an old man to heal that quick.
Yeah.
But when they took our water away, he was one that couldn't take it. When he saw everything going to pot, he drank himself to death.
Oh.
And another neighbor put a bullet through his brain.
Oh.
Couldn't, you know, everything you built up there for years and years, going to nothing and leaving
yeah.
you on starvation.
Yeah.
Some old people just can't take it.
Well, what did the company put in up above you?
They didn't put in anything. The gold dredgers moved in there and
they
worked up
water
the river
to,
bottoms, and they needed water to float the dredgers.
Well, they didn't last forever, did they?
No, it's all gone long years ago.
But they lasted you all out.
But they ruined the entire community completely. Yeah. Nothing there now. I go up and stand on the ridge and look down over the flat where the orchards and vineyards were. I can still see the rows, cattle country, cattle raising over everything. Now and then an olive tree still stands. You can't kill them.
Oh, really?
And in the low ground here and there, a quince tree is still living.
Oh.
But otherwise, everything is gone.
You know, quince has a marvelous taste.
Yeah, we had two kinds, and they were wonderful preserved. And you take that big orange quince, it's shaped somewhat oblong, and bake it, it's wonderful. Beats baked apple for flavor.
I never had a baked quince, I just
well,
had a preserve.
That's that big kind. Everything just grew and bore. Prunes, grapes, peaches, apricots, plums, cherries. Everything just like it had been fertilized. I brought back 100 pounds of soil from the old farm. Just to look at. I'm kind of sentimental in my old age. No, it's more than that. I have about 8 to 10 California wildflowers that I grow in my yard in flower pots.
Oh.
About 140 flower pots, and I can get up on the February morning and see the same little bluebells I walked to school 3 miles through.
Oh, how about that?
They're brodeas, and there are various kinds of brodeas. Some are blue, some are pink, some are white, and lilac brodeas, different shape. So I just kind of like that. But you know, it's a lot of trouble. Come the 1st of May, I have to put them all in the garage to imitate the long dry season there. In November, I bring them out. And they all come up. I started with 20 bulbs. I got 2,000 now. They're pushing each other out of the box. So I guess I've got the right combination for them. Yeah, you come along sometime in March and you see them.
I'd love to.
All bright. Climbed up through the chaparral at 20. And there's something funny about them. Some are left-handed and some are right-handed.
Is that
some
right?
Twist around to the left and most of them twist around to the right.
What book did you read that in?
Well, that's the Researches of Nealands.
I don't know what they need to come down, but they coming down all the time. They think we see a bird.
Oh yeah.
But something brings them down all the time.
Well, it's natural shedding. They're working towards a clear stem, and finally there'll be a clear stem there.
Yeah.
Just like this one, and they shed their old leaves and make new. I wish we could do that.
Well, I can see the advantage. Doesn't seem to bother out there.
No, I don't think. I think you're unduly concerned. I think the damage is less than 0.001%. And it may contribute something for next year when it rots. Because every plant and every tree in the woods returns to the soil, everything that made it.
Well, now, let me
tell
you.
That's important to remember.
This could be important to me, because after I mow up there, even the yard, you see there'll be that long row of grass will pile up some places. Now, if it's thin and scattered, it's all right. And I have to go along there and rake that up.
Yeah.
What'll I do, just leave it?
Well, use it for mulching if you can, but around some plants that need it. But I wouldn't worry too much if some of it got left. I don't think it would, unless it's just too thick.
Wasn't breathing. Had a big cone here, and she was coughing. A little discharge from her nose, and when she breathed, her nostrils would just flare out. And I called the vet, and he said, oh, she had an upper respiratory problem, and he sent out some antibiotic shots, and the guy gave them to her. She seemed to be better, and we turned her out. And three days ago, she could hardly breathe. This is a great big swollen
was
place.
Was it puffed up there?
Yeah, and this was, she was breathing here hard, too, in her nose, and coughing all the time. So he came out and said she'd had, Missy, some pneumonia. Gonna get sand on her.
Don't let her step on
the and so now then.
She must have had something
hold
like
on.
That. But I would say she's on the road to recovery.
Well, is she breathing all right? I mean, better?
Yes, I think she's going to recover, because that would have taken her before now if she weren't on the road out.
Did he give her medication twice?
One.
What did he do, Guy? He gave her an intravenous.
Oh, I gave her 4 or 5 of those shots, penicillin and 2-3 other things.
Oh, for infection.
Yes. And then he gave her a B12 shot in intravenous.
I see.
What else did he give her?
But he gave her 2 shots in that intravenous thing,
Barbara. Didn't seem to help her within 8 hours or a day.
Yeah.
Yes, within 6 or 8 hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think now the worst is over. I hope I'm right.
He said she had some lung tissue damage.
Sometimes they get into something. One time one of the farmers down there that was always against me, didn't think I knew anything, he could do anything, and his hogs were dying. I said, someone told me, and I met him on the street, and I said, I heard you're losing some hogs. Yeah, I got the cholera. He wouldn't have his vaccinated. Well, I said, let's go out there and have a look at him. This is about 10 miles out. So I went out there and looked, and I posted 2 of them. He buried them, but they were still fresh. And I went inside, and I said, Mr. Johnson, these hogs didn't die from cholera. The lesions were not in the right place around the spleen and liver and other places. I said, cut him the stomach open. I said the stomach walls were inflamed and red and mean looking. I said, that's abnormal. Those hogs seemed to me to have been poisoned. Who would want to poison my hogs? Well, I said, let's look around. Way back there, the packing shed where he used to raise truck. And he had a lot of arsenate of lead, and he let the shelf rot out, and the poison fell down, and the hogs went under there to get out of the weather and the rain, and they got some of that arsenate of lead, and it poisoned them. So that was what we decided was the case. Never did anything for me, he said after that. Some people are hard to convince.
What did he say?
He never did anything for me.
Even after that?
Even after that.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to sell land, you know, with some poor fellow that he could rook.
Yeah.
He had a racket, I didn't.
Right. Was he a pretty nice fella?
No, he wasn't. He went broke. The boom came along, you know, and he was doing fine. But then he went broke.
Yeah.
When the bubble burst.
Yeah.
He always said, it's a crime to be poor.
Oh,
he got to be a criminal, too.
Yeah.
And the Depression came, and everybody was so. Problems are what interest us. The personalities just don't count too much.
Well, now, another way of looking at it is the problem is just an occasion for the personalities to get to work.
Yes, we'll always have them, and we'll always need people that are willing to tackle them, and especially those that are interested enough to tackle them without having a private motive.
Do you know, Mr. Nealon, do you know the vets, the veterinary doctors, are a lot more, got more personality than the other doctors now?
Do they?
Yes, sir.
I wonder why.
I don't know. The others are so rich, for one thing.
Yeah, I think that money pollutes. Money pollutes.
That's just the last words on the tape. Money pollutes. Faye said she didn't realize Mr. Nealon was so full of those sayings. I didn't either. Oh, he can quote and he can recall those sayings. Of course, he's an entertainer in a way. He is a guide. Oh, he takes everybody out, all sorts of parties, you know. So this is Channel 1 over 140. Channel 1 over 140 and the end of the cassette of Mr. Nealon on the field trip. As we went to the back pasture and back to the West Hammock on the Audubon visit on Saturday the 11th of October 69. Saturday the 11th of October 69. This is 140 Channel 1 over.